You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, Hump Day Wednesday. Got to get over the hump. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do, hoping to that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, it is not. And it has to get done. It will get done. It must get done. Yes, it will get done because you're going to do it. Right on. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. The drop down, you'll see, programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Quake Coop. Appreciate you. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tomorrow, Thursday, from 8 to 10, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yep. Time for an Awakening. Other program announcements that I make, of course. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tayemba is getting ready to take a group of our people once again to the motherland, November 20th to December 2nd. Going to Kemet, November 20th to December 2nd. Going to Kemet. January 30th to the December, excuse me, yeah, there you go. Put your glasses on, Oshi. January 30th to February 10th, 2025. Azinya. Some people know what it says. South Africa. Yeah, Azinya. April 4th to April 14th, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. November 20th. To December 1st, 2025, Azinya. And of course, if you go to the website, you have got a lot of good information. So if you're not going to go on one of these trips and you are going to make a trip, all the information is there where you can get the paperwork, visas, get shots, and so forth. All the information is right there. And, of course, if you want to invest, particularly into Ghanaian and Pan-African organizations, and repatriate, that information is there. So everything you need is there, brothers and sisters. Africa for the Africans.org. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And the programs that they have, Habashah Works, Back to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Urban Green Jobs, all of the positive. Habashah. Okay. The Ledge Group. The Ledge Group. They, of course, work in four different areas of human necessity, of human essentials, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries on the continent with over 172 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group. Land for the environmental development of group economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, is, from my understanding, still in Kenya. And he said he's going to be for a few months, and he wasn't jiving. So check out his website. He has a lot of goodies, new products on his website. It's been updated. Yeah, check it out. And okay. The Minister of Wellness. Smy Pharmacy, SmiFarmacy, Smy Pharmacy, located here in Atlanta area. You can give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751, at 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy, SmiFarmacy, at Gmail, if you want to drop them a line. Smy Pharmacy. The Moses West Foundation, Brother Moses West, with the atmospheric water generating machine. He seeks donations. He don't want investors. He ain't about trying to make some money. He made it clear we're not monetizing the importance of water to human existence. So we're trying to provide water wherever water's a necessity, and that is a lot of places. Especially after you've had hurricanes and floods and tornadoes and other calamities, you know. In fact, I don't know if you can remember when they had that train derailment in Ohio and all that toxic gas and plumes of dark smoke. And I asked Brother Moses West, can you still extract clean water out of all that atmosphere? And he said yes, because the machine only deals with the H2O molecule. It kicks everything else to the curb. Then it goes through a filterization process, and then out comes clean drinkable water. So no matter where on this planet that it is needed, it could be placed. Gathers up the H2O molecules, goes through that process, turn on the tap, out comes clean, drinkable water. And it's almost like a magic, you know? Yeah, just like you've seen advertising of some of those survival straws. A brother in Africa developed one. And I've seen these Caucasians on Facebook, you know, with survival straw. I mean, talking about murky water. I mean, man. But put it in there, and once again, a filterization process happens, and you get clean, drinkable water. The Moses West Foundation is preparing to deploy the atmospheric water generator to address severe water shortages in western North Carolina following Hurricane Helene. We are seeking support for
critical resources to overcome logistical challenges, including gaining access to impacted areas and ensures the efficient delivery of clean water. Assistance with fuel, transportation equipment, and essential supplies is vital for us to navigate the current conditions and restore water access. Now, you know, he's showing some of the pictures and the terrain, all the trees are down, and the water's, of course, you know, yeah, looks bad. Man, looks real bad. Yeah. It was that way all over, man, you know, in the South, you know. We develop and implement the atmospheric water generation technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. Brothers and sisters, the Moses West Foundation. Once again, when I make these announcements, and I only make them once a month now, once a week now, that hopefully you'll get a chance to go to the website and let your conscience be your guide. But more importantly, you know, give them some assistance. All right. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The program is Dare to Win. And it's every Thursday night from 9 to 10, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So adjust accordingly. The call-in number, or the call where you can listen if you want to, or questions, comments, or concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Bija, it's got it going on, man. It's a one-stop shop right there, man. Furniture, clothing, health food. Even has a vegan restaurant on the premise, man. Real. Open from Tuesday. They're not open on Mondays. They're open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. You want to give Brother Bija a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. All right. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. Across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Giving you a good parameter of where Wadada's is. They have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and dry goods, beans, and so forth. Yeah. Go to Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Give them a call. 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. I saw on Facebook she had and I missed it because the date was put up wrong, but I can't remember the sister's name that she had as a guest that wrote a couple of books, children's books. But give her a call at 404-346-3263 because she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. She has book previews and writings, so forth, man. That's right. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Sister Mama Nia. Give my Sister Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. Brother Kazimde Ajamu is the proprietor. That's a good brother. Brother Kazimde Ajamu. And the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located 6984 on Main Street. You take I-20, go east, headed east on I-20. Take exit 74, make a left. Now you're headed north. About a mile and a half is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Go have a delicious cup of Cameroon Boyo. Other select drinks that he has there. or you want to give them a call at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. There's light in the black dot. Jump back in your ride. Head back the opposite direction. Now you're going south. Jump back on I-20 again. Make that left. You'll get on I-20. The next exit, the very next exit, is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take that exit, make a right. Three lights, make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Yeah, okay. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. If you want to give my good sister, Shelly Amoset, a call, call her at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. My good sister, Gabrielle Aurelia, the work that she is doing with the children in Haiti, in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Go online to see for yourself. Sonjay-Haiti. Ayiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Baba Barudi, Mama Ya. Baba Barudi will be my guest on Monday. You know we look forward to Baba Barudi. He'll be my guest on Monday. Looking forward to it. You know, but Baba Rudy's is school. They have their anniversary, so they're looking for brothers and sisters because that's how they keep the school going, brothers and sisters. The good people like us who are willing to donate money. So go to Ackerman Institute. If you want to use PayPal, yabarudi@yahoo.com. If you want to use Cash App, the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, and then Barudi, BARUTI, and make it a one-time or ongoing. Also, too, if you want to check out the books, Baba Barudi, of course, a prolific writer, and go to AckermanHouse.com. AckermanHouse.com. So we're going to read from the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. We have a lot of them here in October. I missed a number of days here in October, so I'm going to catch up in November. Going to have a day where I'm just going to go over some of the Inyasasim and give a critique of them. Not even going to critique nothing. I'm going to get you listen to them, and if you want to respond to the narratives that Baba Barudi puts out, please do so. This is the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. October 29th, just another is not another person's relative. Just anyone is not another person's relative. One's relative is one that has done good to one. The Akan proverb. Family that is loving, honest, committed, and accountable must be created, nurtured, and sustained on the front line. However, there are habits that warriors develop in response to their socialization. When European culture and society for raising onto the front line, which must not be brought into the family environment there because they are by nature inimical to the development and the flourishing of African family. Inimical. Using or manipulating others is one such behavior. Frontline relationships are supposed to be built upon mutual respect. An abuse of another is not indicative of any form or level of respect. No matter how rationalized, it is pure disdain. In order to exploit another, a sense of superiority and belief that they deserve to be misused and taken advantage of must be a central part of the exploiter's mindset. Warriors do not do that to each other, for sure, and anyone on the front line, regardless of age, sex, or ability as a warrior. Certainly many were trained to be the kind of hustlers who use people without conscience. But hustling is not a skill that you employ against family. Hustling is not a skill that you employ against family. Affirm, I do not hustle family. I hustle for family. Affirm, I do not hustle family. I hustle for family, I say. October 30th, I let my game do the talking, Maurice Ashley. Debate is what you do when you feel safe, when you feel you have time to waste talking instead of acting on what you know. For too many of us, debate is a form of reaction. Debate is how Europeans capture many of our intellectuals and keep many of us just spinning our wheels as they continue with their imperialistic march against us. These intellectuals have confused themselves into believing that it is possible for them to change Urugu's nature and to change their minds. They forget that relative to us, the European single goal is to pull us in and under so that we will no longer have to spend precious energy suppressing us from outside. This point extends beyond the verbal realm to those intellectuals who write, record as much or more than they orally debate. African centered scholars who write about what is happening to their people without doing anything concrete to move them forward the African way are simply chronicling their people's demise. Those who esoterically talk about the deteriorating conditions of their people to an audience either separated from or not of their people and aid in the destruction of their community by keeping their mind severed from the body. Their insecurity as self-made intellectual leadership is reflected in their conscious, willful efforts to suppress any rise of any active community consciousness nurtured by a new vanguard of African scholars who see knowledge of self as a possession of all African people, not just a talented but a self-centered 10th or 5th. To paraphrase Nana Baba Hannibal Afrique, we don't want to hear your arguments. We want to see your work. I love that, and you believe me. I've heard him say it. Yeah, I remember when I was president of the firefighters in Chicago, we were there, and I met with him. That's the first time I met Baba Hannibal, because they wanted the black firefighters to sign in on some reparations or something that was happening. National Black United Front. Yeah. Baba Hannibal had freaking, then he left Chicago and went down to Mississippi and organized. Like I said, I don't want to hear your arguments. I want to see your work. Affirm, I eliminate conflicting priorities. Affirm, I eliminate conflicting priorities. And my work is a priority. The Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah, family. Can't wait till Monday. Friday, Brother Muhammad Abdullah will be my guest, and we're going to talk a little politics because the situation is upon us, and I know Monday, which is the day before the actual election itself, so we're going to talk a little politics in the end. Brother Muhammad Abdullah. Yeah, brothers and sisters, appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all hanging in there with me. And Brother Kwaku said, hey, Brother Oshi, take a day off, man. I love the brother. But I love this. I love communicating with brothers and sisters wherever you are. And for those who consistently call in, and or just consistently listen, I appreciate it. We're going to talk today about the Black Panther Party in this month in 1968. You know, the Black Panther Party was started. Yeah, the Black Panther Party was started. And let me read this little piece. I'm going to play a piece too, family. But it'll go more in depth. The Black Panther Party, originally the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And, of course, they call it a Marxist-Leninist and Black Power political organization founded by college students Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton in October of 66. In Oakland, California, the party was active in the United States between 66 and 82, with chapters in many major cities, including San Francisco, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Seattle, Philadelphia, Milwaukee. And I'm quite sure you may have had a chapter here. I don't know. They were also active in many prisons and had international chapters in the UK and Algeria. Algeria, because Algeria was doing a covert strike against the French, you know? Yeah, those assholes. Man, I tell you what's funny. We should do a program on the French and how the French have undermined Africa and undermined Africans, and which is ironic because there's this perception that the French, you know, were more friends to us than Italians, particularly than English or Irish or any other, definitely more so than Germans, you know. But when we come down to it, the French were slick. They manipulated us. And they still, to this day, as we speak right now, have many countries in Africa which they take money from. And they take resources, you know. In fact, France wouldn't be shit without us. Just like Brother Irv says, France's lights are on. Ain't no problem with their lights. But on the continent, after all they've done and taken from us and manipulated us and killed us, yeah. It was just like one time a French got kicked out of a country. They just tore up the infrastructure they had created to extract mineral wealth out of it and take it to the coast. Yeah. They were also active in many prisons. Upon its inception, the party's core practice was an open carry patrol, cop watching, designed to challenge the excessive force and misconduct of the Oakland Police Department. From 69 onward, the party created social programs, including the free breakfast program. I worked in one here in Milwaukee, at St. Boniface, a school by North Division High School, Catholic, St. Boniface Church, you know, and I worked in a couple of, you know, not long, but enough. And also too, they had a clinic. Saw what was happening there. Yeah. There's other teenager. Yeah. The breakfast program. Programs, education programs, community health clinics. The Black Panther Party advocated for class struggle, claiming to represent the proletariat vanguard. In 69, J. Edgar Hoover, that asshole, you know, director of the FBI, described the party as the greatest threat to the internal security of the country. The greatest threat. The FBI sabotaged the party with an illegal and covert counterintelligence program, the COINTELPRO, and surveillance, infiltration, prejudice. Oh, man, I remember watching a program on PBS, and they had this fine sister. Sister was fine, man. She infiltrated the Black Panther Party. Yeah. Dirty heifer. But yeah. So she was on the program and his mother's. And, you know, that was a thing, you know. You had agent provocateurs. You had people who would do. So that's the thing about us here. That's why, you know, we need to talk about us here. What happens to us here? And, you know, I got a good friend. A good friend, Jim Winbush. He's been sending me a lot of good stuff, but he always wondered why, you know, we continue to act this way. And he don't want to hear what I'm saying about this shit is by design. This ain't because we want this to happen. It ain't because we hate we hate one. Yes, we do, because we've been trained to do so. This is by design. Yeah. all designed to undermine and criminalize the party. The FBI was involved in the 69 assassinations of Fred Hampton and Mark Clark, who were killed in a raid by the Chicago Police Department. And, of course, you can check the movie out, you know.
Yeah.
They killed. And then Black Panther were involved in many fatal firefights with police. Huey P. Newton allegedly killed Officer John Fry in 67. And Eldridge Cleaver, who I read his book, Soul on Ice, one of the first books I read back in the late 60s. Eldridge Cleaver. He was married to he married Kathleen Cleaver, the sister, high yellow sister with the big red fro. Yeah. Allegedly killed Officer Fry. Eldridge Cleaver, Minister of Defense, led an ambush in 68 of Oakland police officers in which two officers were wounded and Panther treasurer Bobby Hutton was killed. The party suffered many internal conflicts resulting in the murder of Alex Rackley. Government persecution initially contributed to the party's growth among American Africans and the political left, who both value the party as a powerful force against de facto segregation and the U.S. military draft during the Vietnam War. Party membership peaked in 1970 and gradually declined over the next decade due to vilification by the mainstream press and infighting largely fomented by COINTELPRO. Support further declined over reports of the party's alleged criminal activities and drug dealing and extortion. The party's history is controversial. Scholars have characterized the Black Panther Party as the most influential black power organization of the late 60s and the strongest link between the domestic American African liberation struggle and the global opponents of American imperialism. Other schools have described the party as more criminal than political, characterized by a defiant posturing over substance. The new Black Panther Party. Self-defense. How much time I got? Okay, got 20 minutes. That's good. I'm going to play this particular piece here for you about the new Black Panther Party. In the second half of the program today, we'll open line and still talk a little bit about the new Black Panther Party. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play this particular piece. Get a little understanding of the Black Panther Party.
I have no clue that in 2024, the best way to make money with Amazon is not by selling physical products.
You're not a child, you're a man. So stop wearing so many layers to go outside and get the bearskin tactical hoodie 4.0, the 10-pocket tactical microfleet.
Hi, I'm Clint Smith, and this is Crash Course Black American History. One theme we've seen throughout this series is that women were and are some of the most important people in the movement for equality.
Oh, man.
There is a long lineage of black women freedom fighters that extend from slavery through reconstruction. I'm Clint Smith, and this is Crash Course Black American History. In the history of the fight for black liberation, there have been black political organizations who have been around doing this work for decades. Organizations, for example, like the NAACP and the National Urban League, who were founded in the early 20th century and still exist today. And these groups, which have been in existence for over a century, have helped bring about some incredibly important policy changes when it comes to the civil and political rights of black Americans. And have also served as platforms from which black people can make their concerns known to the wider public. But sometimes, an organization doesn't have to have existed for a long time in order to have a huge impact on the history of this country. An example of that is the Black Panther Party. Founded in 1966 by Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, the Black Panther Party reached its peak just 4 years later in 1970. The organization had an impact on U.S. history and culture that far exceeded its relatively short lifespan and small membership. Let's take a look to understand why. Let's start with the Black Panther Party's origin story in the thought bubble. Originally known as the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, the organization started through the campus organizing of Seal and Newton. They met in Oakland, California in 1961, while they were both students at Merritt College. In the tense atmosphere following the 1965 assassination of Malcolm X, Newton, Seal, and other student activists organized the Black History Fact Group. The group was founded in part as a response to the university failing to acknowledge the role of African Americans in settling the American West in the 1800s. Among their goals was to urge the school to offer courses in Black history and to establish a Black Studies department. Newton and Seal also joined the college's sole students advisory council, whose stated goal was to, quote, develop Black student leadership, advocate for a more inclusive curriculum, and to connect the university to the community. But disputes within the group would lead Newton and Seal to eventually resign. But their struggle to continue the work of Black radical political organizing didn't end there. Newton and Seal pivoted their goals. Rather than looking to join another political organization, they decided to form their own. Students of the teachings of Malcolm X, they founded the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, later known just as the Black Panther Party, in 1966, following the murder of unarmed teenager Matthew Johnson at the hands of San Francisco police. Thanks, Thought Bubble. According to historian Robin C. Spencer, Newton and Seal framed the tenets of their new organization around the belief that Black Americans were living in an internal colony within the larger mother country of the United States. Borrowing from Black nationalists and post-colonial movements of the time, they posited that the relationship between the Black colony and the mother country was, according to Spencer, one of pure exploitation of labor and resources. Therefore, they sought to liberate the Black colony through self-determination as a part of their larger goal to transform America and eventually the rest of the world. This aligned with their larger vision of correcting racial and class inequalities. Seal and Newton were also interested in how Black liberation struggles worldwide were interconnected to the struggles of Black Americans. They were avid readers of Marxist theory and studied anti-colonial movements from around the world. They believed that guerrilla warfare could be an effective strategy for social change and that small groups of armed people could lead that change. Their politics were also informed by the struggles for self-determination around the world in places like Vietnam, Zimbabwe, then known as Rhodesia, South Africa, and Mozambique. After the Black Panthers were founded, Newton and Seal outlined the group's agenda, philosophical views, and political objectives in their 10-point program. The program's objectives state, 1, we want freedom. We want power to determine the destiny of our Black and oppressed communities. 2, we want full employment for our people. 3, we want an end to the robbery by the capitalists of our Black and oppressed communities. 4, we want decent housing, fit for the shelter of human beings. 5, we want decent education for our people that exposes the true nature of this decadent American society. We want education that teaches us our true history and our role in the present-day society. 6, we want completely free health care for all Black and oppressed people. 7, we want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of Black people, other people of color, and all oppressed people inside the United States. 8, we want an immediate end to all wars of aggression. 9, we want freedom for all Black and oppressed people now held in U.S. federal, state, county, city, military prisons and jails. We want trials by a jury of peers for all persons charged with so-called crimes under the laws of this country. And 10, we want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, peace, and people's community control of modern technology. After creating this 10-point platform, they decided on a name, borrowing from the Lowndes County Freedom Organization in Lowndes County, Alabama, a political group that used the image of the Black Panther in their materials and was led by activists including Stokely Carmichael and John Hewlett. In addition to their 10-point program, the Black Panthers were also actively engaged in their community through a number of social programs that look to pool collective resources and support the Black community. This group of programs served as a rallying cry and human rights manifesto, aiming to correct centuries of harm inflicted on all oppressed people. The Black Panthers' vision was at once practical, demanding things like health care and housing, while simultaneously being revolutionary in its scope. Among their most popular programs were the establishment of free health clinics in 13 black communities across the country and the implementation of free breakfast programs for school children in different parts of the U.S. The free breakfast program that was started by the Black Panthers became an inspiration for the breakfast programs that still exist in schools across the country today. The Black Panthers were also known for carrying unconcealed, loaded weapons and monitoring the activities of local police in black neighborhoods. As they continued to engage in political activism and social change, their popularity grew across the country, especially in urban centers with large minority communities like Los Angeles, New York City, and Philadelphia. Additional chapters were established in places like Chicago, Indianapolis, Detroit, Des Moines, Iowa, Paterson, New Jersey, and Wichita, Kansas. By 1968, approximately 2 years after the Panthers were founded, they had roughly 2,000 members across the country. But the burgeoning political movement that sought to guarantee the rights and freedoms of black people also attracted a fair amount of controversy, especially as it relates to their interactions with the U.S. government and the police. For example, in October of 1967, Newton allegedly killed Oakland police officer John Fry. This followed a period of armed interaction with police officers, since one of the principal tenets of the Black Panthers was the right to self-defense in the face of white supremacist violence. In May of 1967, Newton had sent more than 24 armed Panthers to the California State Capitol in Sacramento to protest the passing of a law that would take away their right to openly bear arms. Ronald Reagan was governor of California at the time and vehemently opposed the Panthers, who he believed served as a threat to his law and order campaign. The resulting news coverage painted the Panthers as a militant group and the new leaders of the Black Power movement more broadly. By the morning of October 28, 1967, Newton estimated that the Oakland police had pulled him over more than 50 times since 1966. That morning, he was pulled over by police, and within minutes, Newton was on the ground with a bullet in his stomach. Officer John Fry was fatally wounded, and another officer was injured. Newton was named as the shooter and handcuffed while still in the hospital. During this period in 1967, while Newton awaited trial and Seal was serving a 6-month sentence as a result of the Black Panthers' protest in Sacramento, a member named Eldridge Cleaver, who had joined the group in 1966, took over as the new leader of the Panthers. In 1967, he married fellow Black Panther member Kathleen Neal. Cleaver's critically acclaimed 1968 memoir, Soul on Ice, which told the story of his life and time in prison, sold over 1 million copies within 2 years. Cleaver had studied the work of writers like Thomas Paine, Voltaire, Karl Marx, Richard Wright, all while incarcerated, and this influenced his personal philosophies and political writings. However, there was criticism of Soul on Ice for its depictions of violence and women. Specifically, Cleaver admits in the text to committing serial rape of women, beginning with black women in poor communities for practice before beginning the serial rape of white women. Cleaver's admissions in Soul on Ice point to larger societal and systemic issues of patriarchy and sexism, namely the pervasive disregard of violence toward women. And these issues, which were present within the Black Panther Party, would serve as an ongoing challenge for the organization as a whole. Additionally, troubles with law enforcement continued to plague the Black Panthers. First, Newton was convicted of voluntary manslaughter in 1968 and sentenced to 2 to 15 years in prison. However, on May 29, 1970, the California Court of Appeals overturned the conviction, and the next few trials ended with deadlocked juries. The Black Panthers he returned to, even after just a few years, had shifted dramatically in some ways from the organization that he founded with Seal. For example, there was now a growing group of white radicals who had joined the group's ranks. And under the leadership of Cleaver and others, the rhetoric of self-defense had shifted to include an ideology that embraced revolutionary violence. Additionally, the group faced inner turmoil. In 1969, Alex Rackley was murdered by other members of the Black Panthers who suspected that he was an informant. Seal and other Panthers faced charges in New Haven, Connecticut for that alleged murder. But it wasn't only internal issues plaguing the organization. External forces also impacted the group, like the assassination of Black Panther Party members Fred Hampton and Mark Clark by the FBI and local police in Chicago in 1969. See, by 1969, the FBI, under its first director, J. Edgar Hoover, had declared the Panthers a communist organization and an enemy of the U.S. government. In 1968, Hoover called the Panthers, quote, one of the greatest threats to the nation's internal security. Because of this, the Panthers became the target of the FBI's COINTELPRO, a secret counterintelligence program that used to surveil politically progressive groups. But the organization continued to function, with Elaine Brown serving as the chairwoman of the Black Panther Party from 1974 to 1977. She was the only woman to hold this role and often faced sexism and discrimination for asserting herself and leading the party. Gender roles within the party were often quite restrictive, but women like Brown, Kathleen Cleaver, Asada Shakur, and Erica Huggins held leadership positions within the organization, including as editors of the party's newspaper. Still, COINTELPRO agents managed to infiltrate events and the personal lives of prominent members of the party. In the 1970s, a Senate committee led by Frank Church, a Democrat from Idaho, exposed the FBI and COINTELPRO. As the scholar Peniel E. Joseph has described it, the FBI and COINTELPRO had a, quote, clandestine role in the dismantling of the Black Power, New Left, and anti-war movements, and revealed further evidence of the pitfalls of unchecked government power. Under the weight of internal strife and external pressures and surveillance, the organization officially dissolved in 1982. The Black Panther Party helped to bring Black Power to national and international prominence and raised important questions about Black people's right to fair treatment, equality, and self-defense. It's not an organization that was perfect, and it shouldn't be overly romanticized in ways that ignore some of its institutional and interpersonal failings. At the same time, its legacy shouldn't be minimized or mischaracterized because of the multiple forms of state-sanctioned interference it experienced from American intelligence agencies. The Black Panther Party's contribution to the Black freedom struggles of the 1960s and 1970s and today was profound. And that means sitting with all of the complexities that come with it. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time. Crash Course is made with the help of all these nice people, and our animation team is Thought Cafe. Crash Course is made possible by all of our viewers and supporters. Thanks to all of our patrons who support the show on Patreon and all of you who participated in the 2021 Crash Course Learner Coin campaign.
Right on. Okay, man. My, this pad is... Thank you. Yeah. I tell you, I'm going to get ready to take a break here. When we come back from the break, we'll take your calls at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're going to play... We're going to play Earth, Wind, and Fire. Today is the day that the Earth, Wind, and Fire Last Days in Time album debuted. It was October 29th, 1972. It was a album, one of the first albums I bought. First Earth, Wind, and Fire album for sure. And I loved this album. I loved many of the songs that were on it. And in fact, the lineup of songs on this album were great. On the first side, Time Is On Your Side. Time Is On Your Side, great piece. Then there's the interlude, and then They Don't See What You Are to Me. Yeah. Then Make It With You, great song. And then the song we're going to play, Power, Maurice White. On Kalimba. On the other side, Remember the Children. Great piece. What about the children? And then the other song was Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Protest song. And then a very good song I like and love song is I'd Rather Have You. I'd Rather Have You. And then the last song on the side too is Mom, which I play every Mother's Day. As opposed to, I'm not opposed to, I Always Love My Mama by Truders. I'm not opposed to that. But I love Mom. That was a good song, real good song. So We're going to play a piece by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Is that right? It's Brother Felix's birthday. All right. Yesterday. Thanks a lot, Brother Kwaku. Man, hope my brother's listening and wish him continued good health, man. Right on, Brother Felix. Yeah. Yeah, free your mind. That's right. Your ass will follow. Yeah. So. Brothers and sisters, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Power. 1972. Last Days in Time album. And if you don't have it, you should get it.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Earth, Wind, and Fire. That album came out this day. Well, yesterday, in 1972, Maurice White on vocals and drums and kalimba. That's when he really had it going. Huh? Kalimba sounded great, didn't it? Yeah, kalimba. Made a few other songs and different albums featuring kalimba. Verdi White's brother, vocals, bass, and percussion. Philip Bailey, vocals, congas, and percussions. Jessica Cleaves, vocals. In fact, their first album, I think this is their third album, she was really prominent. Roland Batista, acoustic and electric guitars. Larry Dunn, piano, organ, and clavinet. Ronnie Laws, flute, soprano, and tenor sax. Ronnie Laws. Ralph Johnson, drums, percussions. Yep. Earth, Wind, and Fire, October of 1972, when it was released. Hope you enjoyed it. I've played it a number of times. Power is one of my favorites. Yeah. You know, if you didn't have nothing to do, you know, got a little buzz on, you sit down and put on Power and you hear them sounds. You got a nice sound system. You know, back in the day, everybody was trying to get them sound systems. You know, Sony was in, and Sansui, and a number of sound systems. What was that one? Oh, man. Very expensive sound system. And just sit back and just let it take you away. Let it take you away. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking about the Black Panther Party. And I know that it's been revived, a new Black Panther Party. One of the first new was in Milwaukee. Brother Michael McGee later became a alder person. They want to get rid of his ass, so they gerrymandered his district. Used to run, you know, like if you look at a map going left to right or right to left, whatever, horizontally, you know. After they gerrymandered, he only had a third of his old district. So they clearly gerrymandered him off the county, off the city. Alder person. Yeah. But Brother Michael McGee, he's in North Carolina, is doing well. And if some of y'all can remember the Phil Donahue program, when he was on there along with the neo-Nazis and so forth, and he said, if you say something again about a sister, he jumped up and fired on that dude. Yeah, right on, Mike. Yeah. So a new Black Panther Party there, and now the party is revived there in Milwaukee. But Brother King Rick, good brother, does a lot of good things for the community. Because of the many stores that we don't own in all these major cities, all these areas, Koreans, Arabs, name it, you know. I remember when we didn't have the stores, then we got them. Jews wanted to move out. There were three Jewish stores in my neighborhood, and all three of them moved out, you know. Well, I mean, one of them, he didn't move that far. He only moved about a mile or so up north because I was in that area and I saw, oh, you were here now. Okay, yeah. But when they moved out, a brother or sister came in. You know, they didn't have the store stocked like the previous owners. But we had them. And then, of course, they started building them, and then we began to sell them out to people who had cash. Had deep pockets, the Arabs, the
Palestinians, the Koreans. The Koreans dominated the hair care product businesses, you know. Yeah, all of them, man. So, and that's all over, brothers and sisters. And that is because of our lack of unity, that we don't have them, or that we can make them out, get them out of our neighborhood where we can put a hair supply, beauty supply store, or whatever kind of store that we need. You know, whatever we need, we should do. And you know it. Yeah, but Brother King, Ricky had some health challenges, but he's doing well, and I'm happy to see that. I can't wait to get back to Milwaukee and sit down and talk with my brother. He's doing well. Yeah, of course, the big revival of the new Black Panther Party was Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Brother Khalid, man, Khalid's a strong brother. Well, of course, you know what happened with Khalid. He was a spokesperson for Nation of Islam and the Million Man March. And some of his presentations, he said some things about this, that, or the other. And it became a mode of contention. And Minister Farrakhan wanted to make sure he gets the mall for the Million Man March. So he kind of, that's how I look at it, he gave him up. Yeah. And then Brother Khalid, after so many years, not a lot, with the new Black Panther Party, especially coming out of Houston, Texas, he was serving, you know, he passed. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad passed. I'm not sure what's happening with the new Black Panther Party in Houston anymore, but across the country there's, you know, remnants. Nothing serious. Some remnants. But in the heyday of the late 60s and the 70s, yeah, yep, it was happening. It was happening. And to me, I was in that time. And you can romanticize about it, that it was going to continue to evolve and continue to get stronger. You know, I think many, as I said before, many of the things that we did at that time, unfortunately, we didn't connect it to culture. We didn't connect it to us being unified. We didn't connect it to Africa. Many of them were just pleading with the Caucasians to do right, be right, treat us right, and let us participate in this madness. Oh yeah, there were some, you know, promotions of Back to Africa, because you know that's time that in the 60s and the 70s when African countries were gaining independence, so to speak, you know. Neocolonialism is what it was for a lot of them. And so there were some brothers and sisters, like there are some brothers and sisters at this moment and to this day who are moving to Africa. That's my desire, to move to Africa. Because this ain't going to get no better. I don't give a damn. I mean, I believe Kamala Harris is going to win. But don't believe me, it's just going to be like Barack Obama or any other American African who ascends to that position, because one thing is for sure and clear, they run this. This is theirs. Yes, I know their numbers are dwindling. They'll continue to dwindle. And I know too that they've been making moves on us. You see all the high yellow folks, and where's their allegiance going to be? Exactly. Exactly. Now, there might be some brothers and sisters who recognize or identify, just like all that bullshit about Kamala Harris. She identified with being black. I ain't saying African, but definitely being black. She went to a historically black college or university, Howard University. She's a soror, you know. dated before she married the European Jew, black man. Montel Williams, you remember Montel Williams? He had a talk show. Mayor Willie Brown, you know. So no, she identifies with being black. But that was the thing that Trump wanted to do, was cause confusion. And then you had many of us saying the same thing because Trump threw that out there. Ah, man, I tell you, I think she win, but I tell you, I ain't betting on nothing. And I'm not surprised about anything, you know. But I mean, this, some of the things this cat has done is just monumental failures for him. You know, because if you're going to try to win an election, you got to get votes from everybody. Your base can't carry you. Your base can't win this election. You need independents. You need some Democrats to cross over for you. You need all of that. And all you've done since you've been campaigning is mess it all up, and I'm glad. You know why? Because you are stupid. Demagogue, an asshole, and truly no doubt the worst one of, because I put Ronald Reagan up there as being the worst president as well. And just like, that's interesting, isn't it? Two people I said were the worst presidents ever are the ones the Caucasians love. They love Ronald Reagan. They just like love Donald Trump. But we'll see. Yeah, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, you want to talk about the Black Panther Party? Maybe you were involved. Maybe you're as old as I am. Yeah. You were involved in the Black Panther Party. I remember when Daruba Ben-Wahan, who's here in Atlanta now, I believe he's still here, I'm not sure, but I know he was here, living here. But he came to Milwaukee after getting out of prison, you know, and I wasn't fully aware at the time about Malana Karinga, the creator of Kwanzaa, involving him in that shootout with them. Then I did the research. I said something, I don't know how, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I might have quoted Karinga or whatever, and man, he went off, apologized, yeah, because Marlon Karinga was an informant. His guys had a shootout. Yeah, this is society, because of its evilness and the ability to implement evilness, and particularly when you got resources, you know, and you offer people money, or position, or whatever, they'll do the bidding. They'll do the bidding. You know, many brothers and sisters have succumbed to the European and did their bidding against us. And we know this to be true. But one of the things that we must understand, even though that is the truth, still, nobody's going to save us but us. And what we need is brothers and sisters who are sincere to our situation, sincere to our cause, sincere to independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Sovereignty for us as a people. Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. It's our slogan. It has to be. It must be. Because it's the only thing that can save us. It's the only thing that can save us as a people. Now here, still, here we are sitting, have access to a continent, not a country, a continent that still, after all these hundreds of years of plunder and rape and pillage, still has more mineral resources than anywhere else on this planet. Well, if you ever, I know you, some of you are hip to Pangaea. That's millions of years ago when there was one landmass. There was one landmass. And at the center of this landmass is us, is Africa. And then it started to break off to what you see today. And it's been shown where all these, like a puzzle. This could fit in there, this could fit in there. Just by bringing it together, not taking it and placing it in somewhere different. No, just where they are, bringing it constantly close together, you could see where those things could fit. And right in the middle of Africa, like Africa's in the middle of Pangaea, is the Democratic Republican. There's a Democratic Republic of the Congo, which is one of the richest mineral wealth on the continent. It is ours. You know, see, Europe and the United States and other so-called Western countries utilizing the minerals, the mineral wealth, to make products, to, you know, do all the things that are necessary for development. Whereas we could, but we got to take a good step back so we can move forward. We got to educate ourselves. We have people right now that can do it. We have all we need. We really do. We have all we need. What we don't have, as I consistently say, we don't have our right minds. We have all we need to develop areas on the continent, with major cities on the continent, real ports. Need, you know, railroads to move things from interior to the coast. We need ports to do shipping all over the continent, all in areas. Some are already there, of course, been there. But all we got to do is come together to do it. And for those who really want to but lack the ability, we have the educators to do that, to train you, to teach you, to prepare you to run your own country. We do. We have it. The question becomes, do we have the will to make it happen? Do we have the will? I say we do because I'm eternally optimistic. And even though I come on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I say things that might be perceived as doom and gloom, I'm just giving you the reality of the situation. I also say to you what can happen, what could happen, and what should happen for us. So, yeah. We didn't have, and even on the continent, the 54 so-called countries, all that, when you look at a political map, that's the map that does show you the boundaries, that does show you the cities, the states, the highways, and so forth and so on, political map. Even though you see that was not drawn up by us. That's the Berlin Conference. That's the Berlin Conference. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Good afternoon, my sister. How you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, enjoying your the program as
thank
usual.
Thank you.
Thank you. And yeah, I want to give a tribute and a shout out to the Black Panther Party.
Oh, right on.
They have such a great legacy.
Yes, they do.
They're such courageous and awesome and loving brothers. You know, I because I'm from the Bay Area.
Okay,
and
right on.
I remember when I was just a little child, I was like in elementary school or going into almost middle school, we would take the bus across the bridge and go over to the marches. And it was so inspiring because we would be saying, "Free Huey off the pig! Free Huey off the pig!" And
yeah,
all the African people were just coming together in solidarity, fighting for that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
that was,
you know, it was
that was like
so
68. That was like 68, about that round of time, 67, 68. Yep.
That was, yeah, like, right about that time. And they were such loving. The brothers were so loving and courteous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, like, you know, we were young, and they were always respectful of the sisters, and they would always look out for you. So, you know, they have a legacy of love for our people. And just courage, and they were so revolutionary. So I give a shout out and much love to the Black Panther Party.
I say, I agree.
Yeah, and I'm just happy to, you know, they had the 50 year anniversary a few years ago of the Black Panther Party in Oakland, and we went, and it was good to see Angela Davis and, you know, some of the
Elaine Brown.
So when there's someone we can really, you know, just pride in doing, just say, you know, this is our African people, you know, revolutionaries, and so I'm giving our shades and thanks
right
to
on.
Them.
Well,
and you know, and I'm making this an analogy too with what's going on in Africa with, like, you know, Burkina Faso and Nigeria, you know, the young revolutionary brothers that are,
that spirit is there. Yeah, especially with Burkina Faso and Mali and Chad and so forth. That spirit is there, you know.
They are so courageous and brilliant and revolutionary, like how they kicked the French out and how they building a nation. You know, they are building a nation and doing, you know, something online. It's a little playwright, and I want to send you the great what they're doing, the practices they're doing. Like, you know, they're trying to do things with nuclear physics, and, you know, building schools and institutions, and, you know, building their army. I got to see you too. They were showing a picture of their arms. Those brothers make you so proud. They were so strong and awesome. And he, you know, he's teaching them, you know, the art of warfare. And,
sure.
And,
they got to have it. You got to defend it. Once you make that kind of move, you're going to have to defend that. You know, you just can't make a declaration and expect everybody to respect that. No, we live in a world of evil people, especially because we have resources. And we've been manipulated and undermined far, far too long. And so we declare that, hey, you ain't getting none. No, you ain't getting no more. You used to get it free and cheap. Just like I played continuously that piece of Howard Nichols talking about Africa must never be able to produce itself, produce anything. We need their resources. Africa has the resources. We need them, and we want them cheap. If not, we want them cheap or we want them free. You know, Africa, we must always undermine Africa.
Yeah, they inflict their terrorism and their imperialism and their racism. You know, so I agree with you, and I'm just loving seeing the beautiful Black men. And I sisters, too. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Sisters,
oh, definitely.
Too.
Definitely. You know.
So it's really awesome. So I just wanted to, you know, say I say and give tribute and standing in consolidarity. And I love the Black Panther Party.
Ashe.
I love our African people. It's great. Yeah. So, Sante, for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the last thing I wanted to say, because we've talked about it before, but so far as Malala Karanga, You know, I know you were saying, you know, that they're saying he was the informant or whatever, but I'm still standing with him. I'm choosing to believe in him. I know that the FBI would love for us to believe that he was an informant, because they are, you know, that's one of their techniques to pit us against each other and have us. My understanding is that was a dynamic in the whole conflict that they had in the beginning. And I'm sure, you know, I believe that, you know, FBI in
just being realistic, sister, you know,
and
he did. Yeah, he sold out his documented.
I'm sorry.
You know, he sold out. It's documented. It's verified. He did that. He did what he did. You know.
Well, I'd like to see the documents, because I know myself and Dr. Brother Albert Tshaka,
mm-hmm.
we are always standing with him, and so a lot of other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in that. But I you know, I want to see those documents. But I know that they're notorious in pitting us against each other.
Oh, no doubt. Yes,
and
yes,
if you
they
talk
do.
To him, when we, you know, whenever he speaks, he says that how, you know, the European crack, the Google set mm-hmm. it up. And mm-hmm. so I just know that that's a great possibility. And that's what I'm thinking. And I know him as a brother, like I said.
Uh-huh.
He and I, and we have members of the Malcolm X grassroots committee, like Ahadi. He gave us our African names. You mm-hmm. know, so, yeah, you know, we had beautiful ceremonies. We went to the Kwanzaa. So I just have positive feelings and love for him. So I'm just speaking my position. That's how I feel.
I hear
about
you. No, and that's cool. That's cool. But I mean, I've also spoken with people who are very familiar with the situation. And like I said, mm-hmm. I've talked to Daruba Ben Wahan, who's here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. if you want to get his side of the story, it's not too, glorifying, that's for sure. You know, and I gave a presentation at Kwanzaa a few years ago
mm-hmm.
At the shrine. And a couple of people in the audience, I guess, were members of the US organization, you know.
Right.
They took issue, you know, not, you know, I said, it is what it is.
You said they took issue. Did you spoke about what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you spoke about, oh, yeah, I guess they will take issue.
Yeah.
I know that. I went to the shrine cool. where they had qualms. I don't recall that, but
mm-hmm.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was one of the last ones before the pandemic. You know,
pandemic so it was more recent, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have any more Kwanzaa. But I think a few mm-hmm. years, because I know that a friend of mine, her mother was out of Memphis, and she was at Kwanzaa. And then she passed.
Uh-huh.
Then she passed, and then me and Brother Kwaku went to her service in Memphis. But yeah, I say this, you know, to me, just like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, they mm-hmm. still have favor with a lot of our people. And it has been known that they've done this, you know, because sometimes when they do it, they themselves don't advertise it, of course not. But there are ones who are close to them and for whatever reason, toll on them. You know, expose them, you know. And cause it, so it
yeah,
is
I heard
what
Al Sharpton said that that was a setup, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not
it
Al
could
Sharpton's
be.
Best friend or anything, but he does,
right.
I feel like, I see that he does do a lot of work for the upliftment of our people.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly. He
and
does.
The families
too.
Be thanking him. Like, he sets it on blast, all the injustices, and helps try to get some accountability to all the pigs as they murder us.
Mm-hmm.
And he confronts that. He supports it, and he gives. He has like church services for the and pays for it for the people that got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the family said they love him, and it's invaluable.
Sure.
Thing. So he does some. He does some good things, and you know, and he denies all that. And
yeah, Jesse Jackson,
so
Operation Spook, they all have.
Said, I just know how notorious the COINTELPRO and the FBI. How they would love for us to believe all the stuff that they be setting up and fabricating.
Yeah. Well, You know, I talked with Conrad Wuerl before he made his transition during the
beginning. I love him.
Yes, he's a great man. He's a good brother. He is.
Praise his name.
Yeah, Conrad Wuerl. You know, yeah. I talked to him about, you know, about, and he was like, man, yeah, it happened. He did it. You know, he had.
He said what?
He said, yeah, it happened. They did it. They were.
Who was they? You talking about this time?
He was talking about Milana, Karinga.
Oh, okay.
He was talking about Jesse and so forth. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah. But I agree with you too, sister. These men, and probably there's some women, because remember, as I was talking about the early Panther piece, I was talking about this program that was on television, how the Panthers were infiltrated, and that's on PBS. And they had this fine sister. She was nice fro, drop-dead gorgeous. And she infiltrated the Panther Party and provided information.
Yeah, I mean, they are infiltrated, for real. And we always got to be vigilant.
Yeah, it's just.
They are,
yeah.
You know.
Yep, it's just like that piece on.
Did it with Marcus Messiah Garvey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like the movie about Fred Hampton, you know. Mark Clark about them, and the brother that turned them in, who was an informant, who wound up killing himself. You know,
I got to see that movie.
Yes, you got to. It's decent. It's decent.
Yeah, I don't know how.
And they show the real brother. They show the real people involved at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they show him. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, I think it's such an honor. I just feel so blessed that I was able to be around and was growing up with the Black Panther Party.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I'm very happy to be, you know, because that shaped me. That made me who I am. You know, the information.
Much joy and so much pride and so much determination to be a revolutionary. Mm-hmm.
You know, and even though that's how I felt then, I still feel that way today, you know, even more so because it doesn't look promising for us. And so we need to be unified. We need to be collective.
Yeah.
We need to have the ability to share amongst one another. And
I say, my brother. And I hear what you're saying. And then on the other half of the glass, I feel that it looks really great for us, and we are powerful, and we're going to win.
Ashe.
And with unity, like you said.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, BB Fahodier, much love.
All right, my sister. Take care, sister. BB Fahodier.
Okay, take care. BB Fahodier.
Our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. Yeah, give us a call. I got a few people in the queue, but they just want to listen, I guess, because you hit star twice and get yourself in. That'll get you in. Yeah. There's no doubt that the COINTELPRO, how it was set up and to infiltrate and use individuals. And some of these individuals, once they've done what they've done, the government will put them in some kind of protection program, you know. Because obviously they can't do what they did and get exposed and still be in the hood. Their days would be short, you know. So they move them somewhere. Maybe they move them out to a different place. I wouldn't want to go. If I wasn't going to be in a protection program, okay, if I was, I'd be a sellout. So then, if I'm a sellout, then I can go ahead and move to Idaho, Wyoming. Ain't nobody going to find me in Wyoming. You know, or some mixed area. Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe I learn Spanish and hang out with Puerto Ricans and shit. Oh, man, how about that, huh? Cracks talk about Puerto Rico. A bunch of trash in the ocean. Yeah, it's called Puerto Rico. And how disrespectful he's been. If that didn't do it, but you don't need that to do it because look what else has happened. the legislation became when he became president to not to fund a lot of stuff for Puerto Rico and came there totally disrespecting the Puerto Rican people by throwing them rolls of paper towel. Just tossing it like he was a basketball player. This man. Yeah. Yeah, but all of the brothers and sisters who, and other people who want their culture, their traditions, their beliefs to be respected, you know, want their land, you know. Yeah. Because, you know, they took this. Yeah, I don't know if you saw Exterminate All the Brutes. Very good. Very good piece. Exterminate All the Brutes. And, you know, it was that racist ass Andrew Jackson. When the Seminole Wars in the South, particularly into Florida, because a lot of us left and went to Florida, and then just being real, some of the so-called Seminoles, even though we lived amongst them, some of them had us enslaving for them. Yeah. You know, that's why a lot of them, when they cleared out, it wasn't like just you indigenous people go on this long-ass trek to what it would be, Oklahoma, or in the so-called Plain States. No, take these folks with you too, these Africans. Take them. So we went on that trek. And what was interesting, and I think that was when I really began to say, we truly have no friends, because they were going to pay some reparations to indigenous people. But in order to get that money, you had to be pure, you know, Cherokee or whatever, which of course kind of knocked us out the box, you know. Yeah. We have no friends. That's why we must turn to each other, not turn on each other. We must turn to each other respectfully, honestly, committedly, sincerely, truthfully, to work together. We need unity. We need function. And not everything, but you agree to the fact that we are all we got. They may not be to the letter, but it's all we got. So, yeah, family. Yeah. Got a 20, no, I'm only about 13 minutes left in the program. If you want to get in, phone lines are open, 215-490-9832. And for those who are in, hit star twice. We can have conversation. We talked about Black Panther Party. Talked about, too, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yesterday was the day that the Last Days in Time album was released. One of my favorite albums. I would suggest, if you have time, go to YouTube. Go to YouTube and you can get whatever you want to get off of YouTube. Last Days in Time. And this is some of the bad songs from that early 70s of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Man. Some of them songs I really love. Like I said, I had the album, played it consistently, and these songs became some of my favorites, you know? Yeah. They don't see what you are to me. I like to make it with you. Power and time is on your side. No more need to run and no more need to hide. Remember the children. Where have all the flowers gone? I'd rather have you. Of all the loves I've had in my life, I'd rather have you. No matter who they were, no matter how nice, I'd rather have you. And of course, Mom, one of my favorite on the album, and definitely play every time Mother's Day rolls around. So get a chance to do that. Or anything else you want to do, go to YouTube and watch again if you haven't watched it. Great Pyramid K 2019. Because I tell you, they still coming up with hypotheticals. And then, of course, you have the people who are there now, the Arabs who are there now. They claim it is from the beginning that they were there always. It is theirs. And they try to give a phenotype that looks like them, as opposed that looks like us, and complexion. See, when you know when the Greeks came in and later the Romans, and then of course after them came the Arabs, and of course when Islam, man, Islam swept all over North Africa, you know, and enslaved many of our people. Yeah. Then they had a religion, Christianity, that they beat us over the head with, that said that's who we were. We were slaves. I hate that word, because we were never slaves. We were never slaves. We were captives. Yeah. So, I hope you have a good day. Hope you have a good day today and get a chance to come back with us when me and Brother Muhammad, and of course you, and we've been teaching and talking about this upcoming vote on Tuesday, next week Tuesday, so it's less than a week away. And of course, you know, this man has done everything to prevent himself from, I mean, even if it is close, and it just goes to show how stupid this man is. But more so, family, it just goes to show how stupid the electorate is. After all you've seen, all he's done from before he got elected in 2019, during his presidency from 2016 to 2020, the fact that he lost the election, and he knows he lost the election, but he had to keep maintain the lie, consistently lying throughout his life. Throughout his presidency, lie. He was no businessman. Things that he touched did not turn to gold. Things that he touched, you know, began to crumble. His marriages, all of it. All of it. Even the producer of The Apprentice is upset with himself that he, you know. But then again, Trump didn't have. The only thing Trump was, he was the actor. He was the person that they put up for him to tell people, you're fired, this arrogant ass. You know? But all other things around him failed. There's a laundry list, a litany of businesses that he tried to start that failed. So I've been watching these pundits on Instagram and Messenger, and man, I tell you, they've been roasting him. Good afternoon.
Hey, Oshie, what's happening, man? I didn't know if you was on today.
Yep, I'm here. I'm here today.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling well, brother. What about you, man? How you doing, Jay?
I'm good, man. I didn't even know, man. I said, damn, let me check and see if Oshie on. I looked at the time. Now, I just wanted to holler at you, man.
Well,
make
I appreciate
sure you are. All right,
yeah.
How was your show today?
Good. It was good. I did a program.
Good.
I did it because this month, August 15th, supposedly, exact in 1966, the Black Panther Party was created. So I did a thing on the Black Panther Party.
Oh, you know. Excellent, man.
Yeah.
One of our greats, Huey Newton, and
right.
Bobby Fields,
yep.
And one of the greatest nuts of all time, Elgin Cleaver. So we had a mixture with them, man.
Yeah.
But listen, finish out your show, man, and I'm glad you're all right.
Right on.
I
got my brother Muhammad Abdullah on Friday, and then on Monday, finally, Baba Barudi will be on Monday.
Oh, cool,
okay.
Cool. I'll definitely make sure I tune in.
All right, brother. All right, Jay.
My
take
brother.
Care. Have a good day. Yeah. So. Yeah. I can honestly say I wasn't a Black Panther. I don't make claims to try to say I did something, but I did participate in some things. I participated in the open housing marches when I was a kid. I walked across the street of the 16th Street Viaduct and got pelted by rocks and bottles and so forth. Participated in a major march on Main Street in downtown Milwaukee for open housing, you know. I did do some work with the Panthers and with their breakfast program. They would need volunteers. So I kind of always try to get in where I could fit in and do something, you know. Yeah. Like I said earlier, and what I've truly noticed in our struggle, we didn't connect it to culture. We didn't connect it to Africa. It's just like the reparations movement. I would love to find that, man. I heard a good brother talking about reparations. Good argument. There's some good arguments, but once again, the reparations is not about making us whole. The reparations is about making you satisfied, making you have to have wherewithal to do whatever you think you want to do or whatever items you feel you need, cars and clothes and houses, you know? And as you know, as I know, because of how we are, they get that money back in no time. We're not going to pull our monies together. Say, let's pull this monies together and see what, we got 500,000, we got a million. Let's build some schools. Let's find older buildings and shape and fashion them and model them, develop a curriculum, and build some schools. There is no doubt that we need brothers and sisters who are educated in the ways of us. They're not educated so they can, be hanging out with Caucasians because they went to their schools, they passed their stuff. Then next thing you know, they got a snow bunny or a snowman. Sister's got a snowman. No, brothers and sisters, we need each other. We do, and you know it. So hope to see you on Friday. We've got Brother Muhammad Abdullah talking. have some good conversation. And then next Monday, Baba Barudi. So hopefully everything will be well with you. So we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Have a good day. Have a safe day. Hope you can come back here on Friday for another episode of African Perspectives. Shimhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace to you.